Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for giving us an understanding of your word and teaching us not to embrace the things of this world. Thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that we mentioned last night and those that are in desperate need as we speak. We thank you, Father, for forgiving our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness, and for blessing us with the latter rain so that we can go forth in a loud cry and glorify you. Thank you for blessing us with numerous opportunities, keeping us safe while we do so, and keeping your hedge of angels around the work. And thank you for sending us more workers each and every day. And thank you for bridling with my tongue and any tongue that may speak so that you and you alone are glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen. All right. As everybody knows, today is the pagan festival of Xmas. It has nothing to do with Christ. In fact, when you say Merry Christmas, it's, well, go to my Christmas page on the website. I don't want to get into that here because it's quite a bit. It's quite a bit. But, but sometimes we're caught off guard and we say it anyway because we've been doing it for so many years. It's not sin. Don't worry about it. Just it does sometimes slip up. But I just hope that we don't have a low attendance because of this weekend. It seems to happen sometimes. But then it's usually some that are young in the faith don't understand yet. And so, no big deal. The Lord winks at our times of ignorance as well as anybody else's. Okay, we left off on number 24 last week, or we didn't do number 24. You know, in the lesson number 2 that we're in. Right, and it says, how does the prophecy describe the attempts of later kings to unite themselves? And it says in verses 42 and 43 of Daniel chapter 2, and as the 10 toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, many are aware of this, I'm sure, but many aren't aware of it as well. There's this thing called the Club of Rome. Let me see if I can find... yeah, if you want more information on this, it's my June 2006 newsletter I just posted in the room. And for those listening on the radio and on the phone, just go to remedygod.org/NL for newsletter 0606. Well, .htm. Oops, I forgot the .htm there. So put the .htm in there if you're going to, but don't go to the newsletter now. I'm going to post a picture in the room here. And for those of you listening on the radio or the phone, this picture is in that newsletter. And let me show you something here. This is why we also see on that My New World Order page where you show a picture of the Pope holding a cane that has 10 heads on it. The Club of Rome was, here, let me show you this first. The Club of Rome was set up in, I think it was 1967, and then they made global announcements in 1971. But just to give you an idea how the map looks, check it out in the room here. You see in this map it shows how the Vatican has already split up the planet in 10 separate sections. They actually call it kingdoms in their article, yeah, where they make that announcement. globally about the Club of Rome. They actually call these, these separate sections kingdoms. And the only thing strange about this map, though, is Mexico. In this map, it shows them being part of South America. You see the number 6 there, and the orange goes up to Mexico, and then United States and Canada. And it looks like, is that Greenland up there? That's all green. Yeah, it is? Okay, thanks. And so, yeah, so it's showing that all as kingdom number 1. All right, but if you look at later maps, Mexico's green. And then if you look at a later map, Mexico's orange again. So it's really kind of hard to figure out what they're doing. But judging by how they recently opened the borders in the United States of America, well, actually, they never really closed them. They just, George W. Bush made it easier for the Mexicans to come over from Mexico, which also helps Rome in the political process of the United States, because Obama's pushing to have illegal immigrants given the authority to vote. And the overwhelming majority of the Mexicans that come from Mexico are Roman Catholic. And even though the 501c3 status states you can't make political statements from your pulpits, every Roman Catholic priest does it anyway. And so they convince their people to vote in a direction they would have them vote. And that's why you see so many Mexicans being in our nation. I would have to assume that they may permanently change it to be part of North America. I really don't care. It doesn't matter to me. You know, there's still going to be 10, kingdoms. But if not, at least they have opened the borders enough for everyone in South America to enter as well. You know, I mean, Greenland, you'll have to at least get on a boat and come into Canada and across our border there. But that border is really fictitious there. There's really no problem getting across that one. Mexico is the one they were trying to sew up because of the crime. So, anyway, getting back to question 24 here. So how does the prophecy describe the attempts of later kings to unite themselves? Well, it ain't going to go very well, because just like miry clay doesn't mix with iron and that, it's just like with today. They don't really get along, as we'll see in a little while here. Anyway, so number 25 says, what prophetic statement has prevented modern kings from uniting under one world government? And then, again, Daniel 2:43 says, whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, and they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with miry, with the clay. Yeah. Church and state don't mix. Obviously, but even though the deed is done, and Rome does have its 10 kingdoms, or 10 Herods, as I described in my June 2008 newsletter. I don't know why this stuff happens to come around in June all the time, but June is there. The One World Church started in June. The United Nations started in June. So whenever they do weird things in June, I happen to be doing newsletters at that time too. So, but still, we have, even though they got the 10 Herods, the 10 separate kingdoms. That's what that one picture of the Pope with the 10 heads on. Let me see if I can't get that actual picture in the room too, because I didn't draw this picture. It's just it's amazing how it's a soon fulfilled prophecy. Yeah, the New World Order page. Let me just open into a new tab to pick. But a political artist made the picture, of course, and it's prophetic. If you look at it, it's absolutely prophetic. Count the cane. The heads on the cane, there's 10 heads. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yep, 10. Now, but look at the moderates, where they show the little lamb. Now, that's no mistake here. Lamb in prophecy resembles Christ and his people. And look at how they're making it look like they're all scared over there. And then you got the other lambs that are crowding around the Pope, and that's all the Protestant churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because they are part of the One World Church now, too. And those moderates, that's actually us. that they're talking about there. They're trying to say that we're scared. See, this is what, you know, the devil's been doing for thousands of years. If he can get you scared, he's got you. I mean, look what happened with Peter walking on the water. And that's the only reason Peter also denied Christ three times, because the devil knew when he started sinking in the water, he knew that Peter would bow to, you know, his fear. And so the devil used fear on Peter three times. But he couldn't do it the fourth time, because Peter was on to him then. You know, he was converted in the heart. And Peter would have gladly gone to his death then without denying Christ. And so that's why the devil never tempted him a fourth time with fear. So, but they're still trying to make people fearful to this day, because they know, the devil knows, when the child of God has absolute faith and no fear whatsoever, because we know the Bible says that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. So if you have fear, you know that's the devil giving it to you, and you don't want to bow to something he's offering. And so when the people of God get that wrapped around their mind, devil's power, his power is extinguished easily. He'll have to come at you in another angle, which he'll always do. Until that eastern sky splits, we're going to have to deal with that. So even though the deed is done, as I was saying a minute ago, in regards to Rome having its 10 kingdoms or 10 Herods, we still have war and political unrest all over the world, because these guys simply cannot cleave to one another, like Daniel prophesied in verse 43 here. It just can't be done. Rome wants to do things most intelligent, or at least moral leaders, cannot agree with. Yes, they will eventually appear to be as one globally once Rome kills off all the opposition, like they did with, you know, Saddam Hussein, there's rumors going around now that Kim Jong Un or whatever, North Korea, he was poisoned. They're saying that he was killed. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. It doesn't matter. And then, of course, Gaddafi. And who's the guy now in Syria that's saying that he won't bow to their pressure, the Western pressure, you know, to change their constitutions so that they can have Sunday laws? I mean, they're only saying constitution, changing the constitution. They're not talking about Sunday laws or anything like that. But when you saw them change the constitution in the European Union, and within 12 hours of that, there were Sunday laws in Germany, they weren't the Sunday laws that we are going to see prophetically first in regards to, you know, the buy and sell thing. But they set the stage just like they did here in America in the 1960s with the blue laws. El-Assad, okay, thanks, Daniel. El-Assad, he's flexing his muscles. He said, I'm not bound to the pressure. So either he's going to cave and bow to the pressure, or step down, or he'll end up dead like Gaddafi and the others. So, but anyway, when the Vatican does get every nation on earth to, you know, to join with them, even though it's going to be, you know, they're not going to cleave like iron can't mix with clay, it's going to be very short-lived. That's what the prophecy tells us. We'll learn that later, but it'll be very short-lived. So anyway, number 26. Oh, let me read the note here they got. It says, time and again, since the fall of Rome, men have attempted to unite the world under a single government, but the word of God has declared that it cannot be done. And according to that decree, all the attempts have failed. So, and that's why it's going to be so short-lived. It'll look like it's done on paper, but it won't really be done. It's just, and then the eastern sky is going to split, and, you know, it's just, anyway, number 26. When will God set up his eternal kingdom? Daniel 2, verse 44. All right, hold on. It says this. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, this should make each and every one of us extremely excited when we hear that prophecy. Gabriel tells Daniel here that when these 10 toes or 10 kingdoms join as one, it will be within the lifetime of these kings that Jesus will split the eastern sky and put an end to all their bloodshed. Rome right now has 175 nations out of 191 already in agreement with her as we speak. As shaky as it is politically, they are in agreement financially, as we can see with the games they're playing with the economy. That's how Rome works. That's how Satan always worked. okay, they don't agree with the Pope morally speaking, and even to get Yasser Arafat to kiss the Pope's ring was a very, you know, profound situation because he's Muslim, you know, and they hate Catholics. But there was money in it. There was power in it. And so they went along with it. But they still don't cleave like iron can't with clay. So that one, and by the way, that number 175 has already grown. It's probably in the 180s. Unofficially, of course, because the leaders that are going to take the place of Gaddafi, the one that's taking the place of Hussein, and the one that's taking the place of Mubarak in Egypt, just to name a few. And by the way, Egypt just fell to the Muslim Brotherhood, as Daniel 11 gets into. But they have yet to appoint official ambassadors to the Vatican. But that really doesn't matter. That's just on paper. As we speak, Iraq is in agreement. Iran is not. Okay? But Iran is having ambassadors going back and forth to Vatican City. That's been going on recently. Afghanistan's in agreement. Okay? And so is Libya now. And Egypt. Egypt is overwhelmingly in agreement because the Muslims and the Pope are working together. And that's why they have Obama in the White House, so that they can show a show of good faith, yeah. That, look, we'll put a Muslim man in the White House just to let you know that we are on your side, kind of a thing. Because the prophecy says they're going to be, you know, decapitating people in the last days in regards to the mark of the beast, and the only people on the planet that we know in today's society that actually cuts heads off are Muslims. So they got to get them in that position, not because they want to make the prophecy become true, no, because they don't really understand the prophecies as good as the Lord's people do. It's just that prophecy has to be fulfilled. Our Father saw this, you know, the end from the beginning. So I have no doubt with North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un dying the other day, Rome will move in there and place their man, you know, pretty soon as well. And by the way, as I said a minute ago, and there's not a lot of websites that are coming up with this, but I did run across one or two the other day in regards to these rumors of Kim Jong-un being killed or assassinated. Whether he's assassinated or not really doesn't matter here. The fact is the man's dead. And so there's a change of power, even though it's his son stepping up to be worshipped as a god, because that's how they work it. And Herod is all about getting worshipped as a god. And so these guys are already on the same page as the Vatican when it comes to having a Herod-type rule, where it's socialistic / communism with a man standing as a god on earth. So, you know, they worship these guys. There is no god except for the god in office in Korea. So they got the old-fashioned way of doing things, you know, the evil ways. But the EU Times website says that he was assassinated. So we can literally see all this coming to fruition in our lifetime. And this is why I say this is we can get excited. And no, I'm not setting dates, but when you notice how easily it is for all the nations to fall and the leaders to be replaced right now, because you begin to realize that the 175 nations that are on board with the Vatican right now have agreed to use their political pressure against the remaining few that are holding out because they want a piece of the pie. They know they're getting power. They know they're getting finances, you know, money left and right. And the Pope's already talking about spreading the wealth because they were in on that. The little nations that bowed easily, they want part of the money. They want part of the power. And that's why they're all talking about spreading the wealth. And so you got 175 of these nations, official ambassadors to Rome, already official, on paper, done and said, you know. And you got a couple dozen, or less than a couple dozen holding out, you know, the other guys are going to be putting pressure on them left and right to get them to go along. And that's not going to take long. It's not going to take long at all. Especially when we saw how easily Iraq was, Saddam Hussein was killed. Afghanistan, boy, they just came in and we just took over. What was it, a 2 or 3 day war there or a week war? I don't know. It was ridiculously short and boom, we got that as a base of operations. So, for all intents and purposes, this can happen in our lifetimes. And again, I'm not setting dates, but Daniel says in the days of these kings, we just read that in verse 44. He says, he says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. You know, That's the end of the world. That's when heaven, then we will reign with Christ in heaven for the 1,000 years, and not on planet Earth, by the way. We aren't those, we don't preach that. That is not what the Bible says by any stretch of the imagination. There's a page on the website all about the 1,000 years, if you want, and it's just 99.9% scripture. I don't use hardly any comments on that page at all. I mean, it's just that blunt, easily found in the Bible, but most people don't read their Bibles. Anyway, number 27. It says, what will God's kingdom do to the kingdoms of men? And again, that's chapter 2, verse 44. So let me just scroll up a little bit, unless Goran wants to pop it in there again, because my text chat has already moved up pretty high. Thank you, brother. And in the days of those kings, and that's right now, because even though, now think about this, even though, like what, you take 175 out of 191, well, probably 192, because there's a new nation being formed because of one falling recently. Libya is going to get split in two, I think, or something. Anyway, even though you've got a couple of holdouts here, they're still part of the continents that have already been split up in 10 separate sections. So those 10 kings are already here. They're just waiting for these little Herods to knock it off and quit banging heads and, you know, deal with what they're planning. So, what will God's kingdom do to the kingdoms of these men? It says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. All right? Now, contrary to popular belief, where most false prophets and false teachers are stating that when Jesus returns, he will rule on earth for 1,000 years to bring peace to all these nations, that is not going to happen. And thanks, Bonnie, for putting that. You go to that 1,000-year page on the website. And for those listening on the radio or on the phone, just go to remnantofgod.org/1000year.htm. And that's 1000yr.htm. It's YR, not YEAR, just YR. So it's the number 1000 and YR.htm. So as we see here, the prophecy really says, our Lord will destroy or break in pieces all these nations when he returns. And if you want literally dozens of prophetic verses that to back that truth up, see my rapture page on the website. Yeah, here, let me put the link. See if I can beat Bonnie on this one. Yep. All right. I got her. Gabriel, I mean, that, and the reason I wrote, I mean, there's a lot of preachers out there, you know, saying when Jesus comes, there'll be, you know, a secret rapture and all this, you know, it's, there are a ton of verses they simply don't share with their congregation. And most congregations, thanks to Rome infiltrating their churches, don't read Bibles, and they just trust their pastors. Right? And so, anyway, Gabriel is telling Daniel here that when Jesus comes, he will literally break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. Even Psalm 50 verse 3 says, our God shall come and shall not keep silence, which means it's not a secret rapture. A fire shall devour before him. We know about plague number 7, right? 125-pound chunks of hail coming out of the sky, and then, you know, just like there's going to be a lot of fire. And it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Or look at Luke chapter 17, verses 28 and 29, where Jesus says, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. Okay, we know what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. They had that fire and brimstone coming out of the sky. Jesus says, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And what better way to illustrate that destruction than what the very next verse says in Daniel chapter 2 here, regarding how the prophecy says the Lord will do all this. All right, and that's number 28, I believe. Yeah, it says, what represented God's kingdom in Nebuchadnezzar's dream here? It says, for as much, Daniel 2 verse 45, for those listening on the radio on the phone, it says, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. Okay, we all know what those metals represent. We remember we studied the dream. Those all represent global kingdoms. It says the great God hath made known to the king, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof is sure. So the stone that is cut out without human hands is, of course, the kingdom of our God. This type of term, and by the way, the rock is Christ. You know what the scripture says. This type of terminology about being present or made without human hands has always referred to the heavenly as far as I can see in the scripture. For example, in Mark chapter 14, verse 58, it says, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, you know, speaking of his human body, because he's allowing, think about it, Jesus allowed them to take him. When they said, when he says, who are you looking for the day that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he said, I am he. What happened? When the Roman soldiers, with all their muscles bulging out of everywhere, come up and they ask, you know, and Jesus says, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth, right? And when he said, I am he, what happened? They all fainted. In other words, he willingly went with them. And this is why he says, I will destroy this temple. It's just like with, I have hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Lord allows for, you know, the blame, if you will, because he knows what man's heart's all about. But here's a loving statement. I will destroy this temple. In other words, he's allowing this. That is made with hands because he was born of a virgin. So he's got flesh and bone like you and I. And within 3 days, I will build another made without hands. That's speaking of the heavenly, the glorified body, right? The temple made without hands is obvious. His glorified heavenly body, wherein Mary or any other human has no part in. Or in, look at Colossians 2:11, where it says, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Mankind can do the physical act of circumcision of the flesh. The Jews have done that for thousands of years. But they can in no way affect the heart. That can only be done by the Creator in heaven. You know, and we've all seen that amazing miracle where God changed a man's mind or his heart. I saw it when I found Christ back in 1985 and left the Catholic Church. I mean, my mind, my heart, everything changed. It was the greatest miracle I ever saw. You know, it's something man can't do. Or look at Acts chapter 17, verse 24, where it says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And by the way, this is a passage Rome wrestles with from since day one when it comes to their Eucharist. They claim Jesus actually dwells in that little piece of bread or that host in an incarnate manner. But this passage, and many like it, say otherwise, especially John chapter 6. That stone that was cut out of that mountain without human hands is indeed referring to the rock that is Christ and his second coming, when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, it says in 2 Peter 3:10. So what Peter is saying here reflects what Daniel just said there. He'll destroy the kingdoms at his second coming. That is so blunt here. It also proves that they're lying about the secret rapture thing. So anyway, I think we can do one more just to finish this out. Yeah, then next week we'll start lesson number 3. So number 29 says, what did Daniel say about the certainty of the dream and its interpretation? Well, he said the interpretation is sure, right? At the end of verse 45. That simply means Daniel was being very firm about what was revealed to him and what he shared with the king. It was going to happen. And so far, all but that rock coming from the eastern sky to destroy the kings of this earth have indeed happened, exactly as Daniel stated that they, with of course the exception of them just not having the Club of Rome on paper, where the New World Order is here. Even though it is here, but it's not really official yet. But we know what they've been doing, because the prophecy says they've been doing it. Absolutely every aspect and every nuance of this prophecy has been fulfilled, with, of course, the exception of the second coming of our Lord, which is the end result of them gathering together to rule, which it can't stand because they don't cleave, as we learned earlier. They're doing it for financial reasons, just like America has become America Corporation, We go to war now for money. We don't go to war for, actually, I don't think we ever went to war for anything but power and money. If you look at the wars of old, even the Civil War. But anyway, if you notice the chart that's at the end of this thing, you'll see how that which Daniel spoke of in chapter 2 will also be that which he speaks of in the later vision to confirm. You know, the head of gold is Babylon, the breast and arms of silver is Medo-Persia, the belly and thighs of brass are Greece, the legs of iron are Rome, and then the feet and the iron of, mixed with clay are the modern nations since 476 A.D. And then, of course, the stone is the kingdom of God. And then chapter 8 says the same thing. You know, the ram, the goat, the four horns and the little horn. You got Medo-Persia, Greece, the Greek divisions, and Rome. Okay? It's the four horns. When Alexander died, his generals took over and, you know, split everything up in four different ways, and it didn't go well with them. Didn't last because Rome stepped in then. But anyway, it says at the bottom here, in the light of God's word, I understand that in the Bible God has accurately foretold world events long before they are happening. You know, so boom. This is a baptism study, by the way. And then I desire to understand the prophecies God has given in our time. So it's just a matter of the people would check off yes and then go to the next one. So next lesson is says, could we be Earth's final generation? Okay, we just learned in verse 43 of Daniel 2 that, or was it 44, that in the days of these kings that this is going to happen, the world's going to end. And we are already seeing that the planet has already been set up as 10 separate kingdoms. It doesn't matter that Gaddafi just fell. It doesn't matter that Egypt just fell or Hussein is dead. It doesn't matter. There are just the little tiny bits and pieces that are causing problems to make it an official announcement that the planet has been separated into 10 separate kingdoms. But we know it's already happened because they have made an unofficial announcement. And we are number one on that map, by the way, for those that were wondering, you know, because, well, it's said right on the map, number one right over the United States of America and Canada and Greenland. So anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. Be back in a minute.